Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, Ashley and I will bring you stories, along with Brian Lynn. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
The United States Commission on International Religious Freedom released its yearly report this week. The report identifies 16 nations as countries of particular concern for their systematic, ongoing, egregious violations of religious freedom. The Commission is part of the U.S. federal government, but operates independently. It serves as a watchdog group and offers advice to President Donald Trump, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and Congress. Tenzin Dorji is head of the commission. He said that in the past year, severe violations of religious freedom have increased. He pointed to the jailing of individuals accused of blasphemy in several countries. He also noted the detention of over 1 million Uyghur Muslims in China. Dorji wrote that people working for religious freedom must work to make this right a reality for everyone, everywhere. 13 of the 16 countries named as the worst religious freedom violators are in Asia. They include China, Iran, Myanmar, North Korea, Pakistan, Russia, and Saudi Arabia. The six others are Sudan, Syria, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, and Vietnam. The report also accuses three African nations, Central African Republic, Eritrea, and Nigeria, of suppressing religious freedom. The Commission condemned China for its treatment of its Uyghur Muslim minority. They live mainly in the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region. The estimated 15 million Uyghurs in China have long accused the government of oppression. The report said that the government continued to persecute all faiths in an effort to make them behave more Chinese. It said that China has a campaign to destroy not only the independent exercise of religion, but also the culture and language of smaller religious and ethnic minorities. The report said that Uyghur Muslims are always being watched and have their telephones taken or scanned by the government. It also said their children are not permitted to attend religious services. It added that the government has ripped entire families apart by imprisoning between 800,000 and 2 million Uyghurs in camps and sending their children to orphanages. Families cannot contact one another because of fear that the government is listening. So many Uyghur Muslims have no idea where their families are or if they are alive, the report said. The commission said that while the United States and a few foreign governments have condemned China for these egregious abuses, the government has not faced any consequences. After years of increasing abuse, the international community has tragically missed the chance to prevent what is now happening to Uyghur and other Muslims in China, it said. China has denied that it has internment camps and re-education centers for Uyghurs, Kazakhs, and other mostly Muslim groups in Xinjiang. Kazakhs are the second largest ethnic group in Xinjiang after Uyghurs. Xinjiang is also home to ethnic Kyrgyz, Tajiks, and Hui, also known as Dungans. I'm Brian Lin.
Girls in America show more mastery in technology and engineering subjects than their boy classmates, says a new report. The information comes from National Education Data released Tuesday. The findings were part of the National Assessment of Educational Progress, or NAEP. The NAEP measures what a representative sample of students across the U.S. know and can do in several subjects. It is also known as the nation's report card. It is only the second time in the NAEP's 50-year history that it tested students' abilities in technology and engineering. The NAEP's Technology and Engineering Literacy Test, or TEL, was first given in 2014. It asks students to solve real-world technology and engineering problems. The 15,400 eighth-grade students who took the TEL test in 2018 scored an average of 152 points out of a possible 300 points. In 2014, they averaged 150 points. Girls who took the test in 2018 scored an average of 5 points higher than boys, 155 to 150. That is a wider difference than results from the 2014 test showed. Between 2014 and 2018, the scores of girls increased from about 151 to 155 points. Boys' scores, however, mostly stayed the same. Yet fewer girls take technology and engineering classes in school than boys. 61% of male students reported taking at least one class, like coding or robotics. Just 53% of female students reported doing the same. Peggy Carr is with the National Center for Education Statistics, which oversees the NAEP. It is part of the U.S. Department of Education. She presented the findings on Tuesday. She described the 5-point difference between girls and boys as a meaningful statement. Carr said, "Although girls are outperforming boys, boys are taking at a higher rate more engineering classes. They are outscoring boys whether or not they take a class." The TEL test measured a student's ability to use technology and engineering skills in real-life situations. It used interactive tasks to learn what students know and can do. Examples include building a path for bicyclists, and creating a museum show. Girls especially outperformed boys in the areas of communication and teamwork, or collaboration. Carr said the results demonstrate that school administrators and other education leaders need to encourage girls to take more of these technology and engineering courses. She added that boys also should be given more of a chance to work on communication and collaboration skills. The NAEP presents results for groups of students with similarities such as gender, race, and ethnicity, and not for individual students. In 2018, about 46% of students performed at or above the so-called NAEP proficient level on the TEL test. That is an improvement from 2014, when about 43% of students reached the proficient level. Most groups showed at least some improvement in 2018 compared to 2014. Along with the increased scores among female students, the 2018 TEL test also saw strong improvements among Asian students, students from low-earning families, and students whose parents did not complete high school. However, scores for students who identified as English language learners went down in 2018, from 108 to 106 points.
On Tuesday, the Indian Army found mysterious large footprints in the snow. The military group, on an outing in Nepal, took pictures and later put them on Twitter. Their conclusion: the footprints belong to the Yeti, also known as the Abominable Snowman. Most experts in the scientific community say the Yeti is a myth, an imaginary story. The man-like creature is part of Nepali tradition and is said to live high in the Himalayan mountains. In the tweet, the Indian Army said it found the footprints close to a camp near Mount Mukalu on April 9th. The footprints measured 81 centimeters by 38 centimeters. The tweet did not explain how a mythical beast could leave footprints. The Indian Army's Twitter post has drawn criticism by some on social media. One user, for example, put an image of a pothole in Bombay and noted that Yeti footprints could be found there. Other users noted that the supposed Yeti tracks appeared to be a single footline. One user suggested the Yeti may have been riding a kind of strange bicycle. Mount Mukalu, where the Indian Army took the photographs, is one of the highest mountains in the world. It stands near the Mukalu-Barun Valley, an area very far from human population. The area has already been explored by researchers looking for the Yeti. Daniel C. Taylor is one of them. He wrote a book on the mystery of the Yeti. Taylor noted that the footprints likely came from a bear. Taylor told the Reuters news agency that if the footprints came from an animal or a single animal, it's the size of a dinosaur. Taylor added, "One needs to really confirm those measurements of the footprint size because we know for sure that there are no dinosaurs living in the Barun Valley. Since the 1920s, tales of a wild beast have captured the imagination of climbers in Nepal and around the world. In 2008, Japanese climbers returning from a mountain in western Nepal told Reuters they had seen footprints, which they thought belonged to the Yeti. Although they carried cameras, video equipment, and telescopes, they had not seen or taken any photographs of the creature. In 2017, a group of international researchers studied multiple Yeti samples. The researchers concluded the samples belonged to bears.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The 1920s were a time of economic progress for most Americans. During the administrations of President Warren Harding and President Calvin Coolidge, many companies grew larger, creating new jobs. Wages for most Americans increased. Many people began to have enough money to buy new kinds of products. The strong economy also created the right environment for many important changes in the day-to-day social life of Americans. The 1920s are remembered now as an exciting time that historians call the Roaring Twenties. Kay Gallant and Harry Monroe tell more about that period.
The 1920s brought a feeling of freedom and independence to millions of Americans, especially young Americans. Young soldiers returned from the World War with new ideas. They had seen a different world in Europe. They had faced death and learned to enjoy the pleasures that each day offered. Many of these young soldiers were not willing to quietly accept the old traditions of their families and villages when they returned home. Instead, they wanted to try new ways of living.
Many young Americans, both men and women, began to challenge some of the traditions of their parents and grandparents. For example, some young women began to experiment with new kinds of clothes. They no longer wore dresses that hid the shape of their bodies. Instead, they wore thinner dresses that uncovered part of their legs. Many young women began to smoke cigarettes, too. Cigarette production in the United States more than doubled in the 10 years between 1918 and 1928. Many women also began to drink alcohol with men in public for the first time, and they listened together to a popular new kind of music, jazz. Young people danced the foxtrot, the Charleston, and other new dances. They held one another tightly on the dance floor, instead of dancing far apart.
It was a revolution in social values, at least among some Americans. People openly discussed subjects that their parents and grandparents had kept private. There were popular books and shows about unmarried mothers and about homosexuality. The growing film industry made films about all-night parties between unmarried men and women. And people discussed the new ideas about sex formed by Sigmund Freud and other new thinkers. An important force behind these changes was the growing independence of American women. In 1920, the nation passed the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, which gave women the right to vote. Of equal importance, many women took jobs during the war and continued working after the troops returned home. Also, new machines freed many of them from spending long hours of work in the home, washing clothes, preparing food, and doing other jobs.
Education was another important force behind the social changes of the 1920s. More and more Americans were getting a good education. The number of students attending high school doubled between 1920 and 1930. Many of the schools now offered new kinds of classes to prepare students for useful jobs. Attendance at colleges and universities also increased greatly, and colleges offered more classes in such useful subjects as teacher training, engineering, and business administration. Two inventions also helped cause the social changes. They were the automobile and the radio. The automobile gave millions of Americans the freedom to travel easily to new places. And the radio brought new ideas and experiences into their own homes. Probably the most important force behind social change was the continuing economic growth of the 1920s. Many people had extra money to spend on things other than food, housing, and other basic needs. They could experiment with new products and different ways of living.
Of course, not all Americans were wearing strange new flapper clothes or dancing until early in the morning. Millions of Americans in small towns or rural areas continued to live simple, quiet lives. Life was still hard for many people, including blacks, foreigners, and other minority groups. The many newspaper stories about independent women reporters and doctors also did not represent the real life of the average American woman. Women could vote, but three of every four women still worked at home. Most of the women working outside their homes were from minority groups or foreign countries. The films and radio stories about exciting parties and social events were just a dream for millions of Americans. But the dreams were strong, and many Americans, rich and poor, followed with great interest each new game, dance, and custom.
The wide interest in this kind of popular culture was unusually strong during the 1920s. People became extremely interested in exciting court trials disasters, film actors, and other subjects. For example, millions of Americans followed the sad story of Floyd Collins, a young man who became trapped while exploring underground. Newsmen reported to the nation as rescue teams searched to find him. Even the New York Times newspaper printed a large story on its front page when rescuers finally discovered the man's dead body. Another event that caught public attention was a murder trial in the eastern state of New Jersey in 1926. Newsmen wrote 5 million words about this case of a minister found dead with a woman member of his church. Again, the case itself was of little importance from a world news point of view, but it was exciting, and Americans were tired of reading about serious political issues after the bloody World War.
The 1920s also were a golden period for sports. People across the country bought newspapers to read of the latest golf victory by champion Bobby Jones. Big Bill Tilden became the most famous player in tennis. And millions of Americans listened to the boxing match in 1926 between Jack Dempsey and Gene Tunney. In fact, 5 Americans reportedly became so excited while listening to the fight that they died of heart attacks. However, the greatest single sports hero of the period was the baseball player Babe Ruth. Ruth was a large man who could hit a baseball farther than any other human being. He became as famous for his wild enjoyment of life as for his excellent playing on the baseball field. Babe Ruth loved to drink, to be with women, and to play with children.
The most famous popular event of the 1920s was neither a court trial nor a sports game. It was the brave action of pilot Charles Lindbergh when he flew an airplane across the Atlantic Ocean without stopping. He was the first man in history to do this. Lindbergh flew his plane alone from New York to France in May 1927. His flight set off wild celebrations across the United States. Newspapers carried story after story about Lindbergh's success. President Coolidge and a large crowd greeted the young pilot when he returned to Washington. And New York congratulated Lindbergh with one of the largest parades in its history. Americans liked Lindbergh because he was brave, quiet, and handsome. He seemed to represent everything that was best about their country.
The 1920s were also a time of much excellent work in the more serious arts. We will take a look in our next program at American art, writing, and building during the exciting, roaring 20s.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.